All right, so imagine that this is a game show right now. All right, so you're the studio audience, I'm the host, and I call you up. And here's the thing, you get $1 million if you win this contest. So honestly, put yourself in that mindset, $1 million. So you come up in front, cameras are rolling, you're going to have a 60-second countdown. Can you do 60 countries in 60 seconds? I didn't stopwatch myself, but I tried this. I mean, I was going pretty strong to 40, you know, then 50. It's hard. And I bet if we gave people $1 million, 60 countries, I bet if we gave some people 60 minutes, they wouldn't be able to get it, right? It's hard. 60 countries is a lot of countries. All right, did you know, a recent study of the happiest people in the world, Americans under the age of 30, they didn't make the top 60. They didn't make the top 60. In a ranking of the world's happiest people, 30 years and younger, Americans ranked 62. 62. Now, it was encouraging that we beat out Afghanistan. I was glad to hear that. But that they said this is the lowest it's been since they started this study back in 2012. If you're taking notes, I think this is a question worth writing down. Why are so many Americans so unhappy? Why? Because 62 countries, that's a lot of countries. Why are we so low? Now, it would be really easy to point out, oh, here's why we're not happy, because of this, this, and this. But in comparison to the other countries, that's the thing, right? When you compare our politics, you compare our incomes, you compare our freedoms, you compare our opportunities, education system, healthcare system, legal protections, and so much more, when you compare that to other nations, the people who study these kind of things, they're asking some pretty important questions. Questions like this, okay, why do some people overcome challenges in ways that others can't? Well, this week I had lunch with Dr. Dave. He's this guy I love to get together. There's a couple of these men a little further along in life than I am. I love to get together. I pick their brains about life and family and work and all these things. And Dave is one of them. And I love that he lets me pick his mind and spend time with him. So I told Dr. Dave, I said, hey, we got this new series coming up. We're going to be doing this series, and we're going to be looking at what science and scripture say about these pathways that we create in our minds and how that affects everything else. And I'd imagine as a doctor, you've seen this playing out. And he's like, yeah, of course. And without going into any confidential things, he goes, yeah, there's a guy, he came in. He had a wide range of these different symptoms. And the guy says, all right, doc, I want to get to the bottom of this. And Dave looks at him and goes, are you sure? Pretty bold thing to say. But the reason he said that, in just a short time, he could see these physical symptoms that this guy had, they weren't going to just go away if he said, hey, take another test or let me write you a prescription. What the patient wanted was something outside of himself that he could blame and he could take a pill for and make it go away. That's what he wanted. I'm seeing a doctor nod a little bit here. You might have seen something like that before. But if he really wanted to get to the bottom of it, like really wanted to get to the bottom of it, the pathway that leads to health is often more complicated than that. With each passing year, surveys like we talked about, science, they're confirming things that the scripture has said all along. And in this new teaching series that starts today, this has the potential to be one of the most helpful series that we've ever done. In the passage that we're going to be getting to in just a few minutes, the Greek word that's translated in this passage we're going to look at as transform, when we come to this, remember this. The word that's translated in English as transform, it's the same Greek word that's used to describe how Jesus was transformed in what we call the transfiguration. That's the same word. The same word during this transfiguration that took place when Jesus, quote, shone like the sun, and his garments became white as light. It's the same kind of transformation we're talking about there. It's also the same word that appears when the Apostle Paul describes how we are being transformed in the image of Christ with, quote, an ever-increasing glory that comes from the Spirit of God. So this is precisely why this conversation is so important. It's got the potential to change everything. And it goes so far beyond self-help. what we're getting at here. This is the intersection. What we're going to talk about today, this in the next few weeks, this is the intersection of science and scripture right here that we're going to look at. So let's go there together. If you're taking notes, I invite you to write this down. We believe church should be the safest and most helpful place to have a conversation about our minds. Can I get an amen? Out of all the places, this should be the safest place to have the kind of conversations we're going to have. And unfortunately, that's not the case. In fact, so much so that next week, we're going to devote all of next week to what I'm going to call mental health myths. That's next week. We're going to devote a whole week to that because there's so many mental health myths that are holding believers back, including myths like medication is never needed. That's a myth. Including myths like if you're experiencing anxiety, it's because you're not praying enough or you have a hidden sin. There are people who are being told that. Or myths like this, true disciples of Jesus, they don't struggle with mental health ever. We're going to have a conversation about that next week. That's next week. What we're going to do today is the foundational message, the one that sets up all the rest. What we're going to do today is we're going to talk about broken soundtracks, because we all have them. We're also going to talk about how the brain works. We're going to open our Bibles to the book of Romans. We're going to see there how we can change our brains so that we can create new and helpful soundtracks so that we can experience the kind of transformation that we see in the scriptures. So that's where we're going to go. Let's dig in with the broken soundtracks piece. What are broken soundtracks? All right, so one of the best books I read in all of 2023 was this one right here, John Acuff Soundtracks. Any of you read this one? It's so good. So good. Really quick read. Great, great, great book. Called Soundtracks, John Acuff. We'll probably quote this a number of times throughout this series. Here's what he says about the idea of broken soundtracks. Broken soundtracks are, quote, negative stories you tell yourself about yourself and in your world. They play automatically without any invitation or effort from you. Fear does not take work. Doubt does not take work. Insecurity does not take work. We all have these broken soundtracks, these negative narratives that are going on in our head. Sometimes they're conscious. Sometimes they're running underneath the surface. Things like people can't be trusted. That's running through a lot of people's heads. Nobody cares. God doesn't care. I always sabotage my relationships. There's no great guys out there. There's no great girls out there. I'll never be good with money. I'll never find a job I love. That's just how I am. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll always feel this way. There's no hope. Here's why our thoughts matter. If you're taking notes, I encourage you to write this down. The soundtracks in our heads, they form pathways. They form pathways. We're all familiar with the concept of a path, right? Or a pathway. It's a defined route from one place to another. A flight path can take you to Finland, which is the happiest nation on earth, according to that study. It could also take you to Afghanistan, which is at the very bottom of the list. Did you know? Soundtracks in our heads, they form pathways, literally. They literally form pathways. That's how the brain works. If you think the same thoughts, whether it's conscious or unconscious, you think the same thoughts, you are literally creating a pathway in your brain that's heading somewhere that takes data when it comes in, and because that pathway is well-worn, it just shoots down that pathway. Really, really fast, really, really easy. The pathways you repeat in your head, they can often lead to either unhelpful and unhealthy places, or they can lead to healthy and helpful places. For example, an oft-cited example around here, imagine the biggest mid-October snowstorm in Minnesota's history strikes the week of the fall retreat. What happens if you've got a negative soundtrack in your head? Right? Then your thought, the data, comes in, and it goes down the pathway of, oh no, our plans are ruined, right? If that's where your pathway is. If you have a positive soundtrack, same data comes in and says, hey, we're ECC. Let's go make some memories, right? That's the difference. Acuff sums it up like this. He says, you and I have the great fortune of living in the age of neuroplasticity, meaning we know that that's a thing now. Your parents' generations, they didn't know they could change the shape and the function of their brains. Because our lives move in the direction of thoughts, I encourage you to write this down. If we change our thinking, we can change what? We can change our behavior, which then changes our lives. Broken soundtracks can do all these things I'm about to tell you. We're going to, these categories I'm giving you, we're going to go through each one of these 1 week at a time in this series. Broken soundtracks can lead to higher levels of anxiety. They can create self-imposed glass ceilings. They can trap you in the toxic world of chronic negativity. How many of you know that is a toxic world? Chronic negativity. They can create roadblocks that keep you from reaching God-given potential and God-inspired dreams. And they can keep you from sharing your faith. Broken soundtracks can do that with people near the good news. So better soundtracks can lead to the opposite of all those things. A supernatural peace that passes all understanding. Possibility thinking and a growth mindset. The kind of positivity that is both attractive and contagious. The kind of productivity that can help you reach your God-given potential and spirit-inspired dreams, and better soundtracks can help you become a more effective witness. You know, that's what's on the line with this. All right, so I'm talking to Dr. Dave about this series, and do you know what his very first question was as we're talking about this? He says, what book of the Bible are we going to be looking at? I love that. I love that a medical doctor who lives in the realm of what works, what doesn't work, his first question, more than anything else, what book of the Bible are we going to anchor to? Over the course of the series, one of the things we want to do is we want to look at both the Old Testament and the New. We're going to look at narrative history. We're going to look at some of these other direct teachings. Because I want to show you, this is all over Scripture, all over Scripture. We are going to make sure that we don't just, in fact, we don't talk about self-help, because what we want to do is go beyond that. We want to anchor to biblical principles and biblical promises so that it goes beyond our own abilities. So if you have your Bible with you, here's the passage we're going to look at as we get started here today. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2. This shouldn't be a surprise to many of you who are familiar with this passage that this is the one that we would open up with, because I think it just sums it up so well. By the way, if you don't have a Bible at home, we'd encourage you to go right now. Go to Bible.com. There's a great Bible app that you can download. Here we go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, perfect, and pleasing will. All right, Mike, if you could leave that on the screen for just a little bit so I can show them a couple things. What word does this passage begin with? There it is, therefore. And when you see a therefore in Scripture, it's usually a good idea to ask, what's it therefore? A therefore links what comes before with what comes after. These two verses that we just read, they are the call to action for everything that comes before. Everything, all the first 11 chapters have been building up to this, therefore. So, what is in the first 11 chapters? If you're not familiar with the book of Romans is the most comprehensive look you're going to find anywhere in the Bible about our situation as humanity, why we need help, and the grace of God and how he meets us in that place. You're not going to find any book of the Bible that does a better job of laying all of that out. In fact, I made a note to self, we'll put on the calendar a chapter by chapter look, deep dive into Romans in the future here. We'll make sure we do that. Okay, so that's what comes right before the therefore. Here's a good summary of what comes right after the therefore. Here's a good summary. Having laid the theological groundwork, Paul now turns to practical counsel. So he lays the foundation, now he turns to practical counsel. Or put another way, Paul succinctly and with vivid imagery summarizes what the Christian response to God's grace in Christ should be. And what's that response? What should it be? Don't be conformed to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our response, this is interesting in that passage, it's compared to offering a living sacrifice. That is strong language. In fact, I don't know how you come up with stronger language than that. Here's another quote from another scholar who speaks to this. Paul's use of the words offer and sacrifice show clearly that he expects the believers to hand over their bodies to God in a manner resembling the way the people of Israel presented their offering to the Lord. And using the same language, holy and pleasing, what was a holy and pleasing sacrifice back then? It was your first, it was your best. Offer God your first, offer God your best. One of the broken soundtracks that holds people back is we think we can hold on to these things that we need to let go of and still have freedom. We can hold on to the things that enslave us, but we can still have freedom. That's one of those broken soundtracks. Comes back to what Dr. Dave said to his patient. He goes, when they said, yeah, I want to get to the bottom of this. Are you sure? Are you sure? Because we can go there. It's going to cost you everything, but it's going to be worth it. You can experience transformation if you're willing to let go of the past and to begin to walk a new path. Again, this is not just something we see in the Bible. If you haven't already, I encourage you to write this down. We live in an age when science is catching up with Scripture. We now know things about the brain that we didn't, that it's been saying all along. All right, just for fun, I looked up the word pathway on my computer. Check this out in terms of the physical nature of this. These are the three definitions it gave me on my computer. It gave a physiology definition. In physiology, a pathway is a route formed by a chain of nerve cells along which impulses of a particular kind travel. That's what's going on in your brain. In biochemistry, a pathway is a sequence of chemical reactions undergone by a compound or class of compounds in living organism. This is like bringing back all my science classes in college. And then look at this other one. It's a way of achieving a specified result or course of action. Those first two are linked to that third one. If you want the specified result of, hey, I want healthy soundtracks in my mind. I want, when stuff comes in, I want it to go to healthy places. Then we got to pay attention to those other things. That's how it works. We create new pathways. And Romans is filled with examples of, you could just take Romans and we could just end this series here and just start making these your pathways and it could change your life. Romans is filled with them. For example, one of the key concepts that we're going to dive into over the course of the series is identity. What do your soundtracks say about who you are? And what do they say about who God is? So look at this, the very first verse. Paul, he knows who he is. He goes, I am a servant of Christ, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God. He has got this vision for, here's who I am. This is who I am, which helps him filter out all these other decisions. But what I also love about Paul is you go deeper into his other writings, he's also really honest. He's like, I got struggles too. I am the chief of sinners. I got this thing that I pray for and it doesn't go away. And I love it. So he recognizes this is who God's called me to be, and also I struggle. I love it. He's got a really great understanding of who he is. And I love this. Paul doesn't just have a healthy soundtrack for who he is. Here's a portion of his soundtrack towards others. He says to all who are in Rome, as he's addressing this letter, who are loved by God and called to be saints. You tell me that wouldn't transform our churches if we all looked at each other like that. You're loved by God. You are called to be a saint. Can you imagine if that was our soundtrack? Wouldn't that be amazing? And again, Paul is very, very real. If anyone ever had a reason to give up on Jesus' vision for these communities of broken people trying to figure things out in Jesus' name, being united in mission, it was Paul. If anyone should have ever given up. But he never forgot, hey, in our best days, saints are also sinners. So just expect that, right? All right, here we go. One of the wins for this series is for you to be able to start to identify what are those broken soundtracks that I have, and then replacing them with healthy ones. That's probably the key win that we have. So one of the things that we're going to try to do every week is we want to give you some examples. Here are some soundtracks that you could take. Start making these your own. Start saying these things over and over again so they become, this is who I am. So for this week, I'm just going to take some examples out of Romans. You could turn these verses in Romans into soundtracks. Imagine as we're going through this list, if this is who you started telling yourself, this is who I am, this is what's important, you tell me this wouldn't change our lives for the better. Okay, so here's some examples. Soundtracks from Romans. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God. God demonstrates his love for us in this. While we're still sinners, Christ died for us. How about this one? What benefit was I getting when I was doing the things that I'm now ashamed of? Here's some more. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ. I consider the sufferings of this present age, they're not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. As we inwardly groan with the rest of creation, we eagerly await the redemption of our bodies. Here's some more. The Spirit helps us in weakness. God works all things for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. If God is for us, who can be against us? Aren't there some amazing lines here in verses in Romans? Here's some more. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. How about this one? Neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How about the next one? He's the potter, I'm the clay. My heart's desire and prayer to God is for them, or for them, is that they may be saved. Or how about this one? How will they believe if they've not heard? Okay. All of these and more come before the therefore. So Paul, before he gets to the therefore, let's be transformed. He's modeling this. He's demonstrating this. This is his mindset. What kept Paul going? I mean, look at the guy's life. Read the book of Acts. What kept him going? It's having these soundtracks in your head. All right. Now, here's some examples of what comes right after the therefore. My love is sincere. I honor others above myself. I am joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Can you imagine telling yourself that in a trial? This is who I am. I'm these things. I share with the Lord's people who are in need. I practice hospitality. I rejoice with those who rejoice. I mourn with those who mourn. To the extent that it depends on me, I'll live at peace with others. I am not overcome by evil. I overcome evil with. Tell me our world wouldn't be a better place if more of us weren't filling our minds with these soundtracks over and over and over again. And again, we're just getting started. Over the course of the series, we're going to give you dozens and dozens and dozens more. Some that are anchored right in the scriptures themselves, others that are just really great things that people have come up with. You can use some of them, you can use all of them, you can make them your own. The concept here is to anchor our thoughts with these God-honoring thoughts that take us where we want to go. We're also, before the series is over, we're going to give you dozens and dozens of great resources, books, videos, all kinds of things that can really help in each of these areas. We want to do the best we can to make this as helpful and practical as we can. All right, if you're taking notes, we've got one last thing that we want to encourage you to write down as we bring this opening message in the series to a close. And it's an invitation right from the page of scriptures. We just read it from scripture. The Bible invites us to become transformed through the renewing of our minds. And just so everyone knows, and everyone's clear on this, for most of us, it takes time. It takes time. This is just, and support and encouragement. Most of our situations, they are layered. Most of our situations, they're complicated. And we're not going to get solved. These things aren't going to get solved overnight. Can I get an amen to that? Right? One of today's thought leaders in change, James Clear, he puts it like this. He says, every action you take, it's a vote for the type of person you wish to become. No single instance will transform your beliefs, but as the votes build up, so does the evidence of your what? Your new identity. Isn't that good? It's one vote at a time. One vote at a time. One vote at a time. The vision that Jesus casts then is not for us to be alone in this. Not for us to just try to be by ourselves. He casts a vision for believers who gather together an authentic community where we care for, we encourage, we support, we cheer one another on in this. Again, church should be the safest and most helpful place to have these conversations. Let us know how we can help. Let us know. And let's watch as God transforms more and more lives through the renewal of our minds. Let's watch that. All right. I once heard a story. It's a short one that sums all this up really, really well. So one day, teenager comes home. Young teenager comes home and announces, "Mom, I became a Christian." Now, this particular mom had a broken soundtrack when it comes to what that means. She was really alarmed. And supposedly this is a true story too. And she goes, "Don't you realize you've just been brainwashed?" she says. You know what this kid says back? He goes, "Mom, if you could have seen what was in my brain, you'd agree it needed washing." That's what the kid said. If you could use some mind cleansing today, you got a chance right now. Cast a vote towards the person that you want to become. The kind of person who regularly comes to God, reflects, "How am I doing?" and regularly invites God's help to come and to change our hearts and change our minds and make it more like the mind and heart of Christ. So about once a month, to try to help us all with this, we build into our rhythm one of these times. We call it at our church Holy Communion, where we do this. We pause and we reflect on our lives. And it's anchored to a real event in history. And here's how Paul described it in one of his letters in 1 Corinthians. Our Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Now, there's so much that the Bible doesn't say about the sacrament of Holy Communion. It doesn't give a specific age. It doesn't give a specific method. It doesn't prescribe a specific type of bread or wine. What it does say, though, is this. This is also in 1 Corinthians. Let a person examine themselves. Examine themselves. And so eat of the bread and drink the cup. So what a great example to do that right now. Let's take some time together in community to remind one another that we are all in this together. It is so easy. It is so easy to adopt broken soundtracks and make them our own, isn't it? So easy. And broken behaviors. Holy Communion is this opportunity then to reflect on our thoughts, our words, our deeds, what we've done, what we've left undone. And it's an opportunity to take a healthy step forward. To confess our brokenness before God who already sees it, and to be reminded of God's amazing love. To flood our minds with that. This is who he is. He loves to welcome his children back home. At Emmanuel, the only one's going to keep you from the Lord's table is you. If you can sincerely pray these prayers that we're about to pray, we would welcome you to join us wherever you are. If you gathered some elements, when we are done praying, make these prayers your own. Take the bread, take the wine or juice, and receive those as his body and his blood. For those of us who are here, there won't be any ushers. What we do instead is we ask that you spend some time reflecting on these things. And as the Spirit leads, come up and join us in this holy moment. So to prepare ourselves for this moment, please join us. And let's pray these prayers together. Heavenly Father, to whom all hearts and minds are open and all desires are known, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may more perfectly love you and more worthily magnify your holy name. We confess that we are sinners and cannot save ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole hearts. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. We are not worthy for these gifts which you're about to receive, but say the word and we'll be made clean. Lord, I pray for my friends all around. all around Minnesota and beyond here who are watching today, Lord. We're so thankful that you give us and build these rhythms into our lives. And Lord, we want to pray especially for those right now who have either been hurt by people in the past, who maybe were good intention, but have told them all kinds of myths and lies about mental health and all these kind of things. And Lord, we pray instead that you would, your spirit would speak directly to people's hearts and minds. And we pray that you give them that hope, that if they put their trust in you, step by step, one vote at a time, that where they are now is not where they have to stay, but that you can help them. Lord, take away the shame that many people experienced in the past. Take away the barriers that would stand between them and a next step towards you. And Father, now we join our voices together, not only in songs, but also in these words that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.